Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It is Friday. Welcome in, everybody, to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Not only is it Friday, we are one day away from Packers-Browns preseason football. Yes, I get it. It's preseason. It's a glorified exhibition game. It's not even a real, like, true contested exhibition. There's not going to be a ton of starters. I get it. It's barely football at times, but you know what? I wouldn't ask for anything different. It is going to be the Packers. You can't convince me that it's not the Green Bay Packers playing football in some capacity, and I could not be more excited. Also, we had really the preseason kickoff in full swing on Thursday night. I won't go over any spoilers just in case anyone hasn't watched it yet. Another game were like super amazing or anything, but just great to have football on in the background. NFL Network is going to start playing these games all throughout the day, and just being able to work through the day and have preseason football on in the background, what more could you possibly want? And of course, we inch closer and closer to Packers Eagles week one as well. Today, we're going to be going over kind of everything that's happened in week three of training camp. So as we get ready for Packers Browns, and tomorrow we'll have a special guest on to go through a preview of that show. We'll get ready for that. But today we are going to be going over everything that really took place in week three, where things are trending, and everything that you need to know. All right, let's get into right away everything that happened in week three of Packers training camp. Let's start with Tuesday. I'm going to go over Tuesday a little bit quicker because we did do a full recap episode of everything that happened on Tuesday. If you haven't checked that out yet, make sure to go and do it. But I thought Jordan Love was fantastic on Tuesday. You didn't see the real big time explosive plays. There were definitely some big throws down the field, 15, 20, 25 yarders, but no like huge plays and nothing crazy in the end zone, but just a really consistent performance. You know, kind of spraying the ball all around the field in all the best ways, finding wide receivers, left, middle, right. Again, 25 yards, 20, 15, 5, whatever was open, he found it. Defense asked a lot of questions of Jordan Love, and Love had answers to it every single time, save for one play where Eric Wilson came on a blitz and quote-unquote sacked Jordan Love for a safety on the play. Outside of that one play, I thought Love was really in complete command of the offense, did everything right, and really got the ball out of his hands and in the hands of his playmakers out at wide receiver specifically. And speaking of playmakers, I thought Josh Jacobs had a really impressive day on Tuesday as well. A couple of really big time runs, and then another play where he really showed off the wiggle of what he's able to do in tight quarters. Had an opportunity to see, you know, him versus Javon Bullard on the play. And, you know, Bullard kind of had him, you know, or should have theoretically had him. But man, Josh Jacobs, little shimmy. He gets Bullard leaning one way, cuts the other. Bullard puts one arm out. And again, in a sort of two-hand touch atmosphere, that's a maybe a tackle in that situation. But, you know, Jacobs did enough that there's no way. As good as Javon Bullard is, he was not going to make that arm tackle on Josh Jacobs in a real game. And we just got to see kind of some of the more dynamic ability from Josh Jacobs. You can tell he's starting to kind of pick things up a little bit and show a little bit more of that speed. And Matt LaFleur mentioned in one of his press conferences, I think it was actually on Wednesdays, about some of the runs from Josh Jacobs on Tuesday and what type of speeds he got up to on some of those runs, and was very excited about that. Jaire Alexander, another player that continues to be massive, impressive. He had a great day on Tuesday, just locked down in team. And that really continued throughout the rest of the week. It continued through the rest of training camp. He has been back to the Jaire we all know and love. We'll talk a little bit more about Jeff Hafley coaching some of the defensive backs up in just a minute. But man, watching Ja up close and personal in some of the cornerback drills, it's just, you talk about a guy just being different, and Ja just has it. He's different. The fast feet, the focus, the tenacity, the intensity. He's just a super skilled player. He constantly works on his craft, and it pays off for him. He's having a phenomenal training camp. And, you know, again, he's a player that last year I didn't think played up to anywhere near close to the level that he's capable of playing at. And I thought there were times in 2022 where that was the case as well. Jair can be as good as any corner in this league when he is focused and when he is playing the brand of football that he is capable of playing. I do think Jeff Hafley, this defense, this new coaching staff have brought out the best in Jair. I think Jair really responded in an extreme way, in an extremely positive way to the suspension from what happened a season ago. It just seems like he is in the best Jair headspace that we have seen maybe ever. And I'm really, really pumped about the way that he has looked in camp so far. Grant DuBose had two big-time one-on-one wins in the one-on-one sessions where it's just, again, wide receiver versus a corner. Both versus Corey Ballantyne had a deep win and then had one where he just completely crossed over Ballantyne. Ballantyne fell over, broke his ankles. Not obviously, but I'm saying, you know the kids' lingo, broke his ankles, you get it. But yeah, so and then after crossing him over, gets open in the end zone, ball was a little bit high, and DuBose just skied to go get it. So we're starting to see some of that potential from DuBose. It didn't really carry over this week in the team activities, so that's something that DuBose is going to have to consistently try to find ways to do is impress in those. But we have seen a really good Grant DuBose so far in camp, and that one-on-one session just kind of showed you some of the ceiling that he has as a wide receiver. On Tuesday, both kickers went 4 for 7 in an extremely windy practice. And this is one of the ones where we should probably have a conversation of how much stock you want to put into that 4 for 7 day. There were two of those kicks that both of them missed that were far out where those conditions, that type of wind, I don't think there's any chance in a game that they're actually calling for a field goal from 50 plus yards in that type of conditions, nor do I think in any stadium they see those windy type of conditions. So they go 4 for 7. We're going to count it as 4 for 7, and we're going to add those stats as we can, you know, continue to evaluate these kickers through the remainder of camp. But I think we do have to be careful maybe with a couple of those that how windy it was. It was literally like just hitting a wall. So yeah, and Matt LaFleur said so as well. And I, you know, kind of talked to some of the guys on the beat and they were, you know, kind of saying like, you know, it would have been almost an impossible situation to kick into on a couple of those in that day. So, but they did go 4 for 7. We'll talk a little bit more about the kickers in just a moment. And then Tyrone Hopper on Tuesday got a few looks with the ones. I think it was more due to, well, obviously we know Edgerrin Cooper was out and then Quay Walker got a little bit of time off towards that and the end of that practice as well. Obviously no long-term injury concerns because he was back the next 2 days, but there's a little bit of time where Walker went out in that practice and Hopper got some looks at the one. And quite frankly, I thought he made the most of it, although unfortunately he would end up on the injured list later in the week. We'll go over that in just a moment. All right, let's go over Wednesday, day 12 of Packers training camp. It started with some transactions. They released Rory Starkey and Don Callis, both injured. They signed kicker Alex Hale, defensive end Zach Morton, and defensive end Brevin Allen. I thought really one of the big takeaways for the day were two of the safeties, Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams. Xavier McKinney had an interception off of a tipped pass by Quay Walker where he was in the right spot, right time, but did make a very difficult interception. I wouldn't say very difficult, but it was definitely a little bit more of a complex interception. Goes a little bit high off of a deflection, kind of across his body, and he still was able to come down to it, survive the ground, and he was rallying to the football, which is why he was in that right spot. So you love that from McKinney. Had a big tackle for loss, had a pass breakup on Christian Watson where he was, you know, really covering it beyond perfectly. And then Evan Williams at the end of that practice had a game-sealing interception in the two-minute drill. Disappointing play from Jordan Love, quite frankly, because he drove him all the way down to about the 20-yard line, still had 50 seconds left, was only down 3, had a timeout, 1st and 10, like everything was going the offense's way. And then he forced one in on 1st and 10 in the back of the end zone to Christian Watson on more of like a jump ball. Evan Williams is a freak jumper. Like he's 96%, somewhere on 92nd, 96 percentile, somewhere in that range as a vertical jumper from a draft standpoint at safety. He can go up and get it. And he went up and got it and came up with a huge interception. And again, ended that practice, actually ended that drive and ended that game period for the defense. Evan Williams continues to make plays. Xavier McKinney continues to make plays. Javon Bullard continues to make plays. Anthony Johnson Jr.'s looked good as well. Katano Oladapo finally getting some opportunities in team activities. But I said it earlier this week, the difference between the safeties from last year and the safeties from this year, in my opinion, is astronomical, and it has the potential to be one of, if not the most improved position groups in all of the NFL. That's what I'm seeing from this safety group so far. Devontae Wyatt had a huge day on Wednesday. Immediate pressure up the middle on a screen play. Maybe it was a screen play. It was tough to tell because Green Bay's screen game is pretty much a nightmare right now. But Wyatt immediately got there, and Love just had to ground it. Had a sack of Sean Clifford on an immediate pressure. A pressure on Clifford forced him out of the pocket, rolling to his right, and had it settle for a very short completion. And then on a play where Jordan Love threw an interception, he got through the line immediately as well. And I'm sorry, I take that back. That's a Carl Brooks play later. This was one where Wyatt got through the line and Love was forced to throw it away. So just another, again, really impressive performance overall. Four big time plays by Devontae Wyatt on Wednesday. He was a constant menace all throughout the course of the day. One of my favorite plays of that particular practice was AJ Dillon in pass pro. Rashawn Gary comes looping inside, and it's Rashawn Gary versus AJ Dillon one-on-one. And AJ Dillon just does a, I would even say, better than teaching tape pass pro on Rashawn Gary, gets low into his stance, sits down, and just gets under Gary, basically holds him up, and Gary doesn't go anywhere, giving Love the opportunity to make the throw on that play. I mean, you see Rashawn Gary coming, and if you're a 340-pound, you know, offensive lineman, that's scary enough. And if you're a running back, that is a nightmare scenario. It's like, it's one thing if maybe you get like an Isaiah McDuffie that you have to pick up on a blitz or something, or maybe a safety, like that's hard enough. But now you got to pick up Rashawn freaking Gary. That's good luck. And Dillon just did it to perfection. Marshawn Lloyd had a really nice play in pass pro a little bit later in practice as well. It wasn't quite to the level that Dillon had, but he gave his quarterback time and got the block that he needed to do in order to give his quarterback the opportunity to get rid of that football. So that was a positive sign from Marshawn Lloyd as well. Alex Hale was the only kicker that kicked on Wednesday. He went 5 for 6 in that particular practice, started 5 for 5, missed the last one. And then I also wanted to shout out Brenton Cox, who had two back-to-back run stops. It was actually right when there was an injury scare to Malik Heath. He had the big-time run stop on that play, did a beautiful job of setting the edge. And then they sort of moved the practice down as Heath was getting tended to. And in the background of Malik Heath, you know, getting, you know, help from the trainers, Brenton Cox comes screaming through again and makes another huge tackle for loss. He has been really, really good at setting the edge. His run defense has been fantastic, and he has made a couple plays in pass rushing as well through the course of the week. What's up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you haven't started playing Prize Picks yet, you should probably sign up right now, and you'll quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. There's never been a better time than right now to sign up. You can turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA continue to rack up the gold medals and dominate the competition in Paris. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections, and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, most importantly, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Victor Wembanyama and LeBron James as their respective teams look to advance to eventually have a chance to face each other in the finals. Should be a massively fun week of basketball action on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello friends, as many of you know, a few years back the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, that brings us to Thursday, day 13 of training camp. Here were your injury updates and where things stand right now. Tyron Hopper was out with an ankle injury on Thursday. Elgton Jenkins had a vet rest day. Players that returned from injury, Jaden Reed, he was out Wednesday, returned on Thursday. And then at the end of Wednesday's practice, Christian Watson went down. There was some question as to whether or not he was going to practice on Thursday. He did, seemed to have no issues whatsoever. Players that remained out were Dimitri Stanley, Carrington Valentine, Deslon Alexander, Keyshawn Banks, Edgerrin Cooper, Donovan Jennings, and Jordan Morgan. Your starters in walkthrough on Thursday: Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Tucker Kraft at tight end, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, and Bo Melton at wide receiver, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Royce Newman at left guard with Elgton Jenkins getting the day off, a rest day, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle, Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary at defensive ends, TJ Slayton and Kenny Clark at defensive tackles, Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker at linebacker, Stokes, Nixon, and Jair at corner with Nixon in the slot, and Javon Bullard and Xavier McKinney at safety. Those were the players that were starting with the ones. The rest of the players that were rotating in with the ones, because remember, when walkthroughs, there's two different sides going on. The ones are down here, the twos are down there. Here's everyone else that was involved in practice with the ones and rotating in: Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Kingsley Enagbare, Eric Wilson, Devontae Wyatt, LVN, Anthony Johnson Jr., Evan Williams, Carl Brooks, Ben Sims, Luke Musgrave, AJ Dillon, and Andre Dillard. So those were all of your players that were practicing with the ones in addition to the starters that I just went over. Here were your starters when they actually got to the actual team drills. So not just walk through, actual team drills: Jordan at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Dontavian Wicks and Grant Dubose at wide receiver, Musgrave and Sims at tight end, Walker left tackle, Newman left guard, Meyer center, Ryan right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle, Gary and Enagbare at defensive ends, Wyatt and Clark at defensive tackles, Wilson, Quay, and McDuffie at linebackers, Nixon and Stokes at corner, McKinney and Bullard at safety. And yes, Nixon has been getting some reps at outside corner. I don't know, it's probably more of a cross-training thing, but they've definitely been utilizing him in that role. Now, I think it probably, you know, it's when Stokes or Jair are out getting some rest. Remember, Carrington Valentine's out right now. In those situations, they're usually utilizing Javon Bullard in the slot. So it's just a different look. And my guess is they're trying to get Keyshawn Nixon, like I said, some cross training at outside corner. So in a pinch, if needed, whether it's Javon Bullard or, you know, Corey Ballantyne or Kalen King, somebody playing in the slot, it gives Nixon that ability to kick outside and have some familiarity there. With those team reps in mind, I mentioned that it was Sean Ryan at right guard with the starters. Sean Ryan had a false start on the very first play of team. He got taken out. Jacob Monk took his spot the rest of the day at starting right guard. And that just goes to show you, like, they're not going to mess around with it. This is a big offseason for Sean Ryan. Like, he has still every right to go out and earn that starting right guard spot. It looks like it's going to be Jordan Morgan when he comes back and hopefully gets healthy here sooner rather than later. But you know, if Sean Ryan wants to really earn that position, he's going to have to go and earn it right now. I still think if Morgan can get back here and show that, you know, he's didn't lose anything by being out for however long he ends up being out, I do think Morgan ends up as the starting right guard. And Sean Ryan just got to clean some of that stuff up so he doesn't lose those opportunities to Jacob Monk like he did on Thursday. There was a slight Jordan Love scare at the end of practice. I did not see it. It was, you know, Matt Schneidman tweeted about it and then talked about it later on his radio show, basically saying, you know, he saw Jordan Love on the ground, which of course, when you're Jordan Love or a quarterback in a red jersey, you never want to see. And then afterwards was talking to some of the trainers, was kind of grabbing at the back of his leg. It, you know, Matt said it all seemed very minor. And then by the end of practice, he was jogging around. He said he saw Love in the locker room and, you know, Jordan didn't have locker room availability, but he said he saw him, spoke to him about something else, and he was in super good spirits. So it doesn't seem like there's any real true Jordan Love concern or, you know, doubt or scare or anything like that. It will be interesting because no practice, of course, on Friday. There's the game on Saturday. Matt mentioned that Jordan was going to play. He also did say that if any player has any remote little injury concern whatsoever, that they would not play in the game. So if there is any small thing for Jordan, they may be extra cautious. I think Jordan probably still plays a couple series. Again, by all accounts, sounds like this was not anything serious, but that will be something worth keeping an eye on as we get to Saturday. And I'm sure before the game, we'll get a feel for whether or not he's actually going to play in that game. I highly recommend going back and listening to the Quick Hits episode from yesterday because you'll see the actual video of this. But my favorite moment of the entirety of training camp so far was watching Jeff Hafley coach the corners right in front of us and getting a front row seat into exactly how this dude coaches. He is a wonderful teacher that engages his players, that is super, you know, super hands-on and able to teach the technical side of things, but also reach them at a personal level. I told the story in the Quick Hits episode of, you know, he was teaching one thing to all the corners. Ja did it and it wasn't, you know, the same way that he taught it. And he recognized the fact that, oh yeah, that's right. Jair has sort of a different stance and, or I wouldn't say stance, but a different footwork of how he covers wide receivers. And he, you know, starts it by basically saying, hey, I've coached all different corners who do it all different ways. I know you like to do it this way. And I'm paraphrasing here, but like he showed them the same concept that they were working on, but how to integrate it with his footwork. And he's like, so you do this. And then you kind of do this and this, and was kind of pointing it out to him. And showed him. And then Jair, he's like, there you go. He's like, you immediately got it. He's like, you were basically just doing it naturally. So just do that. And then Jair had it and the rhythm was down, but he was working with them while it was the corners. Like he worked with each of them on their own skill set, on their technique, the way that they did it and met them at their needs. And his ability to, again, be super engaged. Like I'm telling you, I'm and everyone else was the same way. Aaron Nagler was there. Paul Bredel was there. Schneidman was there. I was there. I think we were all just completely entrenched in everything he was saying, just every word. And that doesn't always happen. You could just tell, like, everyone was like, this is freaking awesome. And Green Bay has a great coach that they hired in Jeff Hafley. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a unbelievable defense. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen overnight. Doesn't mean that because he's a great teacher at, you know, defensive backs coach and corners coach, which is sort of his background, that he's going to be an unbelievable defensive coordinator in the NFL. And those things will be yet to be decided. But man, is he an impressive guy as a coach and as a teacher. And you can tell the players love him. I mean, you can just tell. And at the end of practice, again, like, first of all, Ja's just honed into everything he's saying and really focused on it. And credit to Ja, because not everyone's always like that. Ja is, again, different level of how he goes about practicing, and it's a joy to watch. But then the other thing too is, you know, after the thing where, you know, Hafley thanks them and says, hey, thanks for letting me be a defensive backs coach again for a day and letting me coach you guys. He doesn't have to say that. And he's just thanking them. And Ja's like, and so Haf says like, all right, I'll get out of your hair now, guys, or something to that extent. And Ja's like, yeah, get out of here, Coach Haf. Let us be alone or whatever. Like, just fun back and forth. It was, like I said, with my favorite moments of all of training camp so far. You can find it online. Matt Schneidman had a tweet on it. I retweeted it. Kyle Melzon from WFRV had the tweet on it. And you can, again, watch my Quick Hits video, and it is in the middle of that one as well. Another player who had a great day, I sort of spoiled it a little bit earlier, was Carl Brooks. Had an easy pressure on Sean Clifford all over a Marshawn Lloyd run in the backfield. pressure in red zone that led to a Jordan Love interception of Jordan by Eric Stokes, and then an immediate pressure on Love that forced a bad red zone throw. Jordan got bailed out a little bit by a PI on LVN who snuck out in coverage. But outside of that, Carl Brooks really heating up. He had four big plays. And then the kicking battle was another big one. Joseph and Carlson both went 6 for 6. Hale did not kick on the day. That brought Joseph to 47 out of 54 in camp so far, 87%. That 87% mark would have put him 14th in the NFL of all kickers last year. Hale did not kick for the day. He's 5 of 6 now in camp. That was all on Wednesday's practice, 83.3%. And that would have put him, from a percentage standpoint, 22nd in the NFL last year. And Anders Carlson, 44 of 54, 81.5%. That would have put him 25th, right where he was at last year. He was at 81.8% last year. He's at 81.5% in camp so far. And then last but not least, one other noteworthy name from practice on Thursday. I thought Royce Newman had a really nice day. He had a really great block against Kenny Clark on one play to give Jordan time to fire downfield. And there was another one, I forget who he was going against, but he stood out as well on a play and really held his ground. I've said it a few different times. I think Royce's, job is very much in jeopardy. There's a lot of offensive linemen who could theoretically make this team. He did take the pay cut. I don't know where Green Bay's at with him, but as much as, angst and frustration, understandably so, that there is with Royce, I still think that there is a place for him in this league as a 9th or 10th offensive lineman. That's just the state of the league. Finding guys that have experience, who have started, who can play, both guard positions, tough to find. And Royce Newman provides that. He has experience. He's played over 1,000 snaps in 2020 as a starting guard, and for a very successful offense that year. I don't know if he makes the team or not, but that was a really nice day from Royce Newman. And again, if he ends up being your 9th or 10th offensive lineman, you can do a lot worse than that through the course of the NFL. Now, again, if he has to be your starter, if he has to be your 6th, 7th, 8th guy, it gets a lot more hazy. Like, that's not where you want Royce Newman. 9th or 10th, you can live with that. And I think, again, he shows the ability to be a break glass in complete case of emergency, to be maybe one of those last guys, but give you some depth on that offensive line. All right, so to me, here's everything that we learned in week 3 from training camp. Number one, Zach Tom is back, and he is such a hugely important piece to that offense. I go back to Tuesday. There's a reason, Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love got cooking on Tuesday. It was because Zach Tom was back, and he was giving them a lot more time. I thought he protected very well against guys like Rashawn Gary. And it was just awesome to have him back out there, and he made an immediate impact. Number two, I would say this offense and Jordan Love, still pretty inconsistent at this point. I will add on to that, I am not concerned about the offense. I am not concerned about Jordan Love. Those guys are going to be absolutely fine going into the year. This is still the time where defense is usually ahead of offense. And Jordan, again, is still missing those first 4 days or 5 days, whatever it ended up being. He's still kind of working his way back. Now, I'm not willing to give any, further excuses, for that. Now it's time for Jordan to, buckle in and find that consistency and just kind of settle in. But I would say right now, the offense, especially in week 3, just very inconsistent. Tuesday was really good. Wednesday had some ups and downs. Thursday had some ups and downs, but some big interceptions and still not finding a great rhythm against this Packers defense. And again, double-edged sword, right? That's great for the defense. And it's not like the offense has been atrocious. It's been a very competitive few days of practice between the offense and the defense. That's kind of what you want to see. If the offense is just tearing up the defense, that's not a great sign. If the defense is just tearing up the offense, that's not a great sign. So I don't mind where everything is at, but I would like to see Jordan get in a little bit more of a rhythm and the offense get in a little bit more of this rhythm. Number three, as I mentioned earlier, the screen game continues to be a nightmare. They cannot connect on these screen plays and get them going in any real positive way. There'll be a couple here or there, but they're trying tight end screens, running back screens, bubble screens. They're trying everything, and credit the defense, they're over all of it, but the offense has to find a way to execute their screen game much, much better. Number four, as I mentioned, the kicking competition is real for the week. Anders Carlson went 10 for 13 with all three misses being on the super windy day. Greg Joseph went 10 for 13 with all three misses being on the super windy day. And then Alex Hale went 5 for 6 all on Wednesday. Young defensive linemen are heating up. That's number 5. Carl Brooks had a big week. Devontae Wyatt had a big week. LVN continued to practice well. Brenton Cox had a really nice week of practice. And Kingsley and Igbari had a nice week of practice as well. So some of those younger up-and-coming defensive linemen starting to get a bit more confident and really starting to come into their own. All of them to a T had a great week three of practice. And I want to add on to that for number six. I thought this was a huge week for Brenton Cox because really impressive in OTAs and mini camps. I thought his first 2 weeks of camp were really, really quiet and you wanted a little bit more and you were expecting to see a little bit more and then you didn't see it. But this week he came to play big time stuff as a run defender and as a player who was expected to set the edge, some big time plays in the backfield on run defense. He looked better and better, playing a bit more violent. And that's exactly what you want to see from him. I thought this was his best week of camp so far, and that goes a long way in helping him earn a 53-man roster spot as somebody that's right on that fringe. Some injury scares. Josh Jacobs looked like he had a hand injury at one point, went out, but he went right back in. Malik Heath went down for a while with a leg injury, limped off, went into the Hudson Center, and like two plays later was back in playing. Christian Watson in the back of the end zone on Wednesday took a big hit. It was like knee to knee, or he didn't even know what hit him, but something right around his knee. But Watson was fine. He got back up, was good to go, and then practiced all day on Thursday. And then we talked about that Jordan Love scare as well. So Green Bay, for the most part, seems like dodged some bullets this week. You never want to see any sort of big time players go down in any capacity, but Jacobs, Heath, Watson, and Love really all combined, despite having some injury scares, did not lose any time in any of those practices. Safeties, as I mentioned, continue to be a massive upgrade. We kind of went over that already when we talked about how good McKinney and Evan Williams were on Wednesday. AJ Dillon continues to impress. I talked about that pass pro rep, but he's had a couple nice runs as well. I want to be very clear here. Dillon's had a really great camp and he's in fantastic shape. That doesn't mean that we jump to the conclusion of being like, now he's going to be this big time number two back and everything's changed. We need to see that Dillon in games and show what he's capable of. And maybe we'll see that as soon as Saturday against the Cleveland Browns. I'm excited to see that. But I want to see that more dynamic ability come to fruition in games before we start going too far. But all you can do in camp is show out and show what you're capable of. And AJ Dillon has done nothing but that. He's right now the number two running back. Marshawn Lloyd has work to do if he wants to take that from him. I still think there's a role for Marshawn Lloyd in this offense somewhere. But Dillon has really, really had a great camp and just doing all the little things. And that big time pass pro rep was a big part of that. And then last but not least, number 10, Jeff Hafley, heck of a coach. And this defense is playing for him. They're playing fast. They're playing aggressive. They're contesting everything. Yes, they're giving up some plays here and there. That is the cost of doing business in the NFL. But I continue to remain very impressed by this Jeff Hafley defense so far. And Jeff Hafley, as we talked about, just as a coach individually and how he gets across to his players, super, super fun to watch and very happy right now that he gets that opportunity to lead this defense in 2024 and hopefully beyond. All right, that's going to do it for me. That is all the key takeaways from this week three of Packers training camp. Packers Browns on Saturday, week four next week. I can't wait. Everything continues to heat up and get better and better. Football season's here, everyone. I hope that you're enjoying the heck out of it. Again, you can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Those are always super helpful. Tell a friend about the show. As far as our memberships, make sure to check those out as well. We have 4 different tiers that are available. And as always, I want to thank our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bread Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.